Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking with DA has been very enlightening because we share the same mindset when it comes to defensive football, which is we want to affect the passer. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Certainly up front, the pass rush is the primary thing you think of, but also on the back end, it's challenging the receivers and disrupting the timing. So it's that fine balance and marriage between the rush and coverage that we're looking to augment.
The Day Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Hate it or love it, underdogs on top. Welcome back to...
You're the MVP.
Score Middays. No, I'm looking for the Bears defensive MVP, though, I'll tell you that.
MVP me.
Oh, look at you.
Come on now.
Look at you.
I mean, every once in a while.
Mark Grody, ladies and gentlemen.
I sound like I know what I'm talking
about. Listen to a little bit of 50 Cent.
I mean, it's
who
just...
Who knew?
I mean, this song just, it's like, runs through you. It's that. Just... What was that? What was that? Wait, what was that?
That's you. That was you during the Kyle Gordon breast conference.
Wait. What is that? Wait.
Bet. You saying bet?
You did like a double bet.
Do you
like,
guys know bet. What I was bet. Actually saying there? That maybe I cut myself off on that?
Were you saying I bet?
I bet. Because he said eventually I'll get something. So I said, oh, I bet.
Well, I'm the czar and I make the rules now.
The czar! Mitch Rosen is the czar. Didn't you know about that?
The bet.
That's what our 11 o'clock guest calls our fearless leader, Mitch Rosen. Chuck Swirsky calls him the czar.
The czar?
Yes.
And we're going to call
him. And he loves it. Mitch is like, yes, I wish more people would call me the czar. He always says that. It's weird that he would say that. I'm like, I mean, I love you, Mitch. I just, like, it just feels weird to call him the czar.
I can see him, the shorter basketball, Fratello, right? He's the czar, right?
Oh, yeah. He's the czar of the telestrator. And I can't, that was a bad Marv Albert right there. I was conflating Chuck a little bit.
I knew who you were talking about or trying to be.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm wondering if the Bears know who they are trying to be right now. Here's why. Because getting to the quarterback has been an issue since I moved to this city. No, really.
I believe it.
I'm being dead serious.
Yes. So you did not come here before Robert Quinn.
No, I was here for the Robert Quinn
years. You were here for the Robert Quinn years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, even then, that felt like...
Yeah, but he did have, was it 20 sacks? I mean, he had an elite year.
Who else had an elite year?
Yeah, really. Well, Khalil Mack, but that's
before
the
me.
First year. He was traded in Ryan Poles' first year.
Yes.
So, yeah. And even at that point, he was not getting to the quarterback. I understand what you're saying. It's been a slog over the last few years with the Chicago Bears getting to the quarterback. We were just talking about that in terms of, like, the numbers have been horrid. I mean, it just – the Montez Sweat year, and I get – like, he might have been banged up. He might have been injured all year, but it was so disappointing. I mean, the Montez Sweat effect was non-existent last year.
Well, he went from leading two teams in sacks to – leading one team in sacks with less sacks than he had on either of the two teams. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's bad. Not only is it bad, but it's untenable if you want to be good in the National Football League to not get to the quarterback. And you're thinking with some of the moves that were made that maybe the Bears are closer to getting things done as far as feeling good about how they're attacking the passer.
Dio Dangbo is here. Grady Jarrett is now here to add to Montez Sweat and Austin Booker. So Dennis Allen was asked about that yesterday. So is that, Dennis, is that actually now a strength of the Chicago Bears?
I think it's a step in the right direction. We're never in the position that we're just satisfied with where we're at. We're going to continue to look for areas that we think we can improve this defense. But I do think we made some improvement in that area, obviously, with the addition of Grady, as an interior defensive tackle. Dio, I think one of the things that he does exceptionally well is I think he moves inside in passing downs and rushes really well from the interior. So I do think we have some options in there, and certainly that's like one of the main points of pass rush. You know, everybody talks about these speed rushers off the edge, but really it's about the interior pocket pressure that you have to have, and that allows guys like Montez Sweat to be able to have some success coming off the edge.
I love listening to that because I love this idea that with Dio Dangbo specifically, he's not necessarily going to be in the same place from down to down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a point of attack, a point of weakness in the offensive line, and they're going to sick them. And the Bears for a long time now had needed a degree of sick them when you're talking about getting after the quarterback. Now, hopefully Andrew Billings is all healed up, ready to anchor the middle, because you just heard what he said about the interior. But overall, you were kind of surprised maybe that they weren't more confident in where they are with pass rushing?
Just because he said it's a step in the right direction. And I thought that was the perfect way to handle that. Yeah, we got these guys, but we don't know if Odangbo is going to be a guy. He never has gotten to the quarterback. And I know that, you know, Ryan Poles told me when I asked him about it, you know, when they had the press conference, look, you got to watch the tape. You got to see what he does. Okay. So then you're right. So then maybe Dennis Allen makes him, you know, moves him all over the line. And he talks about that inside pressure. It also, now listening to it again, it makes me think, of course, maybe the first thing you think is, oh, maybe the Bears are going to draft a defensive end. Really, what he's saying is that pressure in the middle. So it starts to get me back on the Mason Graham train. Now, I don't know if Mason Graham, Ruthie Polinsky's guy, I don't know if Michigan's...
At 10? Mason Graham down to 10?
Well,
can you see it?
No.
Can you wiggle your way around that idea?
I don't see it, but I talked to somebody from the NFL Network last week who said, oh, yeah, definitely he's going to be there at 10. Like, a couple people recently are saying that he could be – and I said, what? Really? Because he was the first guy. Like, you got to have guys throughout the draft. He was my first – like, Mason Graham's a guy. But then I thought, there's no way he's going to be there at 10.
So you kind of put it out of your mind because you thought they're not going to trade up high enough to get a Mason Graham.
I pivoted to Tyler Warren, and now I might be pivoting to Colson Loveland because Matt Miller went on the afternoon show and said that he likes him better, and I think Matt Miller is really good at what he does.
It's interesting you say that because Colson Loveland's getting a lot of love, and Clay Harbor even had to kind of backpedal a little bit and talk about the fact that, hey, I know I was the guy. I mean, you guys literally within 24 hours of each other said, Bears should take Tyler Warren. You said it when I pressed you on Mark Grody draft 1.0.
That's the only mock draft I did, by the
way.
Okay, so exclusive to you, Marshall
exclusive
Harris.
Exclusive to us here on Score Middays with Layla Rahimi and myself. And then Clay came in, unbeknownst that you had said anything about it, said, oh, Tyler Warren, that's the guy. You
yes.
need a playmaker, a weapon. He is those things. Now, we just had Clay yesterday, and he was talking about Loveland as well.
That's awesome.
Why is Loveland making this huge jump? I'll tell you what Clay said. Clay talked about the fact that he watched more tape of him and saw him doing more things than he thought he could do when he first saw a glimpse of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically going off what Matt Miller said, and it was something very similar to that. And he wasn't, like, Matt Miller made it very clear on the Spiegel and Holmes show that he's not, like, he still thinks, like, Tyler Warren is a really good player. He just thinks that Colson Loveland is a better route runner, just a better overall product. And they said, specifically with Tyler Warren, they said that they schemed him so much, almost like they put him in the right positions, Loveland a slightly better athlete, but then I thought about Tyler Warren. What does Ben Johnson do but scheme guys up, right? Like, he puts his tight ends in a position to win. So Tyler Warren might be the perfect product right now still.
Okay, let's listen to what Matt Miller actually had to say about one Colson Loveland.
I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colson Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colson Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
It was interesting listening to Clay because he's played with such an array of first-string tight ends. To be clear, Clay was usually the second tight end in any situation he was in unless there was an injury.
Why are you going to bring that up, man?
Well, no, I'm giving perspective and context. That's all it is. No shade to a guy who had an almost decade-long NFL career and got to be a reality TV star, too. I'm not shading Clay.
No, he's great. He's awesome on CHSN, which I have now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
I have the antenna as well. I watch White Sox games sometimes because, what is life?
Life is White Sox.
So with Clay talking about how he was in camp with Rob Gronkowski, and he was like, what is this guy doing that's so great? And he compared a little bit Tyler Warren to him. He's like, he's not doing anything mechanically that's great. He just finds a way to get open. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. He's a bottom line guy.
Yes.
And that's kind of what Tyler Warren has been described as. That's why he's a weapon, because he'll just find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
But he was also heavily featured in that offense, where a guy like Loveland, he seems to do everything better. He just maybe wasn't given as much opportunity because everything wasn't schemed around him like it was a Tyler Warren.
Yeah, it's just so juicy to think about what they could do with Cole Kmet, who I know it felt like a lost year last year with Cole Kmet and just not getting targeted. I mean, he had some really nice moments for sure during the season, but too many games were like, well, where were all the targets for Cole Kmet? And I think that you add that move tight end, and you can have the two tight end personnel sets, and this will open up Cole Kmet as well. I guarantee you there's not going to be games this year where we're asking at the end of it, what the hell, where was Cole Kmet? I think that this offensive coordinator, this offensive staff will find that way.
I think one of the reasons why you're correct is because if Ben Johnson is anywhere near the tactician that we think he is, the Bears are just going to have more drives and longer drives. So there'll be more opportunities for everyone involved. That goes for the running game, the passing game, and even within the passing game, getting tight ends, running backs, and wide receivers all involved.
Are we going to be disappointed if DeAndre Swift is the Bears' starting running back next year?
No.
How about this? Do you think there's any chance that DeAndre Swift will be the Bears' starting running back next year? You don't think that somewhere along... I'm not saying that they're going to get Genty at 10, which is plausible, by the way, but you've got the 2 second-round picks. You've got some later picks as well. Don't you think they're going to draft the starting running back? I think they're going to draft... Somewhere along the line, I think that they're going to draft a guy who they think is going to be the load back. I think DeAndre Swift can be used in all sorts of different ways, and you could this is going to be the Ben Johnson effect, getting the most out of a player who, again, was, I thought, relatively disappointing. But again, that could also go back to the way the coaching staff was and Shane Waldron and all that was the Bears coaching staff.
I see DeAndre Swift not knowing how Ben Johnson exactly felt about him in their time together in Detroit, but Swift is a guy you can also move around and put in different places.
Absolutely, and that's what I'd like to see more of. So if you get that load running back, whether it's Ashton Genty or Trevion Henderson or Omarion Hampton, who a lot of people...
Omarion Hampton. Clay was in love with him.
Now Clay and I, again, on the same page. Because
do you guys
call?
Do you have teleconferences? No, how does this work?
I think maybe we're talking to some of the same people, because the people that I talk to say there is a on the record and off the record, there's a fine line right now to some people between Ashton Genty and Omarion Hampton. So unless the Bears scouting staff thinks that Genty is like just way better, like ahead of the pack, and maybe they do see it that way, it feels like you could wait for one of those other running backs, specifically Omarion Hampton, who has gained a lot of steam and momentum.
That's the advantage of the Bears having that extra second round pick. We'll see what they do with four picks in the top 71. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm not even a big NFL draft guy. Like, I pay attention to it, obviously. I study it because that's part of the job, but it's not like the most hyped I get. But when you have a cluster of picks the way the Bears do, and you have a cluster of needs the way the Bears still do, I want to see how Ryan Poles and ultimately Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, see this playing out, and if they can get everything addressed where you do feel like they're in good shape. Maybe Dennis Allen has different answers coming up as we get closer to the mini camps and also, of course, training camp, which is closer than you think, Mark.
Trust me, I know, man. And people think I'm crazy for this, but I can't wait because it's a lot of work. But I'm already looking forward to the work and seeing this. Like, we've all been revitalized by Ben Johnson and this team, and hopefully the draft will keep us revitalized as well.
Well, hopefully that continues. We're going to take a look at the Cubs coming up because they've got a big homestand with a red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks team that's looking real mirror image-like. Can they make the most of what's an 8-game homestand coming up at Wrigley starting this afternoon with a 1:20 first pitch? That's when Marshall Harris, Mark Grody returned with more Score Middays on 670 Score.